baptism to Jennifer Martin. Jennifer was buried, and Jennifer, would you come forward, please, real quickly? We're not going to. You don't have to give a speech or nothing like that, but she says she's ready anyway.
I'm ready.
Jennifer was buried in baptism on the 20th day of December in the year of the Lord in 2023, and this certifies your baptism to the obedience of the gospel of Jesus Christ. May God bless you and keep you. Let's continue to pray for our sister. Amen.
Thank you.
All right. Amen. Amen. Philippians chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 12 to 14. Philippians chapter 3, 12 to 14. Very familiar verses, especially this time of year. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. That heavenward prize in Christ Jesus. Amen. Today I want to talk about turning the page. This is a two-part series. We're gonna look at reflections today, and then on next week we're gonna look at writing forward. And specifically today, we want to look at, you know, kind of looking back. You know, I'm putting us here in a story. All of us are in a story. All of us are on a different journey. All of us are in different chapters in the stories. And I want you to think of this 2023 being a close of a chapter, right, in this book. That's your life. And also, I want to look at 2024 as being this new chapter that's yet to be written. And here we are, right there at that edge, right there, you know, in the middle of that little gap right there between this closing chapter and this new chapter in our lives. That's 2023 and 2024. And I want us to look at a few things about reflecting backwards a little bit, because before you can move forward, you gotta go look backwards sometimes. As we look backward, I want to first allow us to acknowledge God's faithfulness to us. I want us to remember, a psalmist says in Psalm 77, 11, 12, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of all long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all of your deeds. And I've shared this before. I've had whole messages talked about reflecting and remembering God and his faithfulness, because I think it's so important that sometimes one of the things that the Israelites, one of the areas in which they stumbled is they became murmurers. Their spirits changed. They began to murmur over the blessings. Listen, they began to murmur over the blessings that God was giving to them. God gave them and allowed them to escape slavery, captivity in Egypt. He leads them miraculously over waters and splits this Red Sea and allows them to cross on over dry ground. The enemies that were on their backs, he encloses that water so it no more enemies. Now nowhere to go but forward. And God's making provisions for them every step of the way. But I don't know about you, but sometimes we can all become like spoiled children. God is showering his blessings upon us, and even in our homes when we have parents and they shower these gifts on us, those gifts doesn't mean someone is receptive of that gift, doesn't mean someone's grateful for that gift, doesn't mean someone appreciates the sacrifice that the gift was even given with. Amen? And some of us can be like that toward God. All the blessings that he showers upon us, and we can't even lift up our eyes to heaven to say thank you. Sometimes we think it's our own hands that have done it. It's our own ingenuity. It's our own genius that has allowed us to be able to create and have the things we have. But that brain, where'd you get it from? the energy each morning, that creativity that God places in, where'd you get it from? You know, and matter of fact, if God takes it away, how useful will you be? Not very useful. And so God is the one. And so we need to constantly be in, have this as part of our tool chest, our spiritual tool chest, looking backward and reflecting on how good God is. And then as we look, there's gratitude. And someone might say, well, hold on, preacher, hold on a second. You don't know what I'm looking back at. You don't look at the trials I've been going through. You don't look at all the tribulations that I've had to endure. You don't understand what God has. Sometimes it felt like he had abandoned me and all of that. And I just wonder sometimes if we read our Bibles, if we're reading the same Bible. The same Bible that David wrote oftentimes, you know, of this solitude that he had, this time of that God, it seemed like God wasn't with them. And then we see times where he's writing, God, you are everywhere. I mean, look at it in Psalm 23, even if I'm going through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. It's the same God he's writing to. The same God, and he was in the cave of Adullam, scared and afraid and all of that, and solace and in hiding and all that. It's the same God. God doesn't change. You and I do. Our experiences do. And sometimes even how we handle, like what, someday you're strong enough to be able to handle and weather the storm, and others, I cower in fear. What's happening? Lord, where are you? And can we relate to this? I mean, there's a great man, Elijah, the great prophet Elijah, that comes to mind. And on Mount Carmel, he is calling out those false prophets and bring it on. Let me just show you who the true and living God is. We're going to construct an altar. We're going to put a sacrifice on it. We're going to call on our gods. And whichever God it is, that's the true and living God. And not only that, he built his altar. He put the oxen upon it and watered it, threw water on it, just to show how strong our God is. With all of that power that God showed him, in a moment, we see him doing what? He hears that Jezebel put a bounty on his head, and he's running into the wilderness. You're strong, and all of a sudden now you're gone. Same God. But you've changed. Something has changed in you. All I'm saying is, I want you to look at something that when you go backwards and even look at those times of distress and times of trouble and all of that, there's always something to be thankful about. Because I don't know about you, but when I go back and really assess that troubling situation, there's a lesson for me. There's a lesson there. And so I'm looking back to get the lessons that I can take forward. And so I'm thankful to God even for those times of trouble, because they're teaching me some things that I'm going to be able to use in the future. And then I want us to look at this. Look at this, the psalmist. As we're reflecting backwards, we're also reflecting to see, what are areas that I need to change and realign to your will, Lord? What are some areas I've been struggling in this whole past year that now, on as I'm getting ready to write a new chapter and move into this new year, that now I can assess it, look over it, and see those areas that need to be tweaked and things I need to discard and things I don't want to bring into this new chapter of my life and say, you know what, enough is enough. Right now it stops. David wrote, and he says, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's anything, any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. He's asking, Lord, I'm looking at myself and I'm seeing what I see and all that, but Lord, search me and help me to see me. We're often the hardest individuals for, you know, like I joke with people sometimes. It's always so easy to give someone else advice, isn't it? I can always see the areas. I go, just give me enough information, and usually I can say, well, here are some things you might want to think about. Here are some things you might want to try. Here's some, you know, it's a lot easier to look at someone else and assess their situation than to look in that mirror. But how needed is it? How is it that the word is described as a mirror? How is it? I mean, when we're saying, Lord, search me, really we're saying, scriptures, talk to me. Scriptures, Lord has put them down in there. And the more we get into it, the more, and we'll talk about this more next week, the more we get into that word, the more it starts to change and transform us and develop us and all of that. But I gotta come to the point and say, look, I need a change. Something's wrong. Now, I know some people, and I shared this before. I knew a person that believed they had cancer. Believed they had cancer. And wouldn't go to the doctor for fear of the doctor telling them they had cancer. Come on. Believe you have cancer, but afraid to go to the doctor for fear the doctor says you have cancer. And before we laugh about that to anybody else, can we see the application in our own lives? Yeah. The thing is, I can't get help from something that's hidden. I can't get help for something that I refuse to even look at myself. I turn away from it, and I don't even want to look at it and deal with it because I don't really want to deal with it. But David's saying, look, search me. Show me the fault. Show me the errors of my ways, and also lead me in your way, Lord. It's not just show me these faults for no reason, it's so that I can be in alignment with you and your will, Lord. Lastly, commit to renewal. Isaiah 43:18-19 says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Earlier we started by looking at Philippians 3:12. Forgetting what is behind, straining toward what is ahead. Here Isaiah is saying something very similar. Forget the former things and don't dwell on the past. Matter of fact, I'm not sure what version that is. There's another version that says, don't live in the past. Don't live in the past. And living in the past could be something good. The good things of the past could also be the negative things of the past. Whatever you're stuck in, I can get stuck in good things of my past. And the good things of my past stop me from doing good things in my future. How? Well, if I memorialize those things, if I idolize the things we've done in the past, if all my attention and energy is living in the past and I'm not doing anything now in the present and moving towards something in the future, I'm dwelling and living in the past. Even on good things. And then, of course, there are other things in the past, those negative things that sometimes we get stuck in. Someone did something to me. Someone hurt me in a certain way and all of that. And bad experiences and trauma can get us stuck in that trauma, in that past. And so whatever, if we want to look at this contextually, look at the children of Israel who had seen Assyria come in and wipe them out and take over 10 of their tribes. Now Judah's left standing, and Isaiah is proclaiming to them, and he's warning them not to follow in the same footsteps of, he calls the sister, the sister, the 12 lost tribes. Now I want you to think about that. They already saw great devastation. They already had, in a sense, PTSD as a result of all of that that had gone on, and so he's saying, look, I know things have happened in the past. We got to move on. We got to learn the lessons. We can't stay in the trauma of the past. it's time to move forward because God is always at work. I want you to see this. Look at that in the text. It says, forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. He says, now it springs up. I want you to see that for a moment. Now it springs up. Right then, at that moment when they were living, something was happening. But I want you to see that when it springs up, it doesn't look like that much is happening. If you put a seed in the soil and water that and come back a week later, you're going to see something happen, but you're not going to see a whole lot of happening, if you understand what I mean. It springs up. Now it springs up, but you understand God is continually at work. He's not stopping, you know, because of this little thing. COVID didn't stop him. The election doesn't stop him. This doesn't stop. God's plan is at work, and it will be fulfilled. And even if we don't understand it, even if we're still, you know, look, I can't even see what God is doing. God is at work. And in their lives, he's springing up new opportunities. But look what the problem is. He said, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up, but you don't perceive it. You can't see what I'm doing. And see, and that's where faith comes in. Faith comes in to go, maybe I don't see all the details because, you know, I'm a person, I like details. I'm going to just tell you the truth. I like details, but I also understand that there are limitations to my desires. Because the limitations, there is no way I'm going to have every answer that I ever, you know, want. There's some things that I'm still waiting to talk to God about to try to figure them out because it hurts my head because I can't get to an answer and no one else can, right? But the key is I may not know all the details. I may not know the direction and where he's going, but I know my God. I know my Lord, I know my Savior, I know what he's done for me in the past. I'm gonna rest on those things. I know that he's taken me out of situations that really, you know, I should have failed in, and he's given me success. He's opened doors where I never would have thought those doors would be even possible. God is always at work. And if we put ourselves, be like that clay, and put ourselves in the potter's hands, what kind of work can't he make out of it? What kind of masterpiece can't he make out of us if we're allowing him to mold us? That's all he ever wanted anyway. Us to just put ourselves, throw ourselves at his feet and allow him to do this work in us and through us. Maybe there's someone here, you know, I love this verse. It says that in Christ, everyone who's in Christ is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. That's what I love about this newness that comes in Christ. It doesn't matter what you were. It doesn't matter your past. It doesn't matter, you know, whatever. If you were a believer, or an unbeliever, a Muslim, a Buddhist, it doesn't matter whether you even murdered someone. I know, we don't want murderers and all that, but all I'm saying, it doesn't matter the past if you're willing to put yourselves in his arms and allow him to mold you and him to make you. He's going to recreate you. That's the whole purpose of us submitting to him, for him to make us, not for us to make ourselves. In Christ, you're a new creature. The old has passed. Behold, the new has come. And how does that happen? Well, the first step of that is submission to God. And in water baptism, he recreates and remakes us. That's not the first step, but that's the step of transition there. All right. God, in baptism, he's going to recreate you. He's going to make you. You're going to put on Christ. Romans 6:3 says, don't you know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ, you were baptized into his death. In other words, every person that's in Christ had to be what? According to these verses, had to be baptized into Christ. You come into his salvation in obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ in baptism. Y'all making this up? No, hold on a second now. Outside of Christ, look at all these things. There's no blessings. There's no redemption. There's no forgiveness of sins. There is condemnation. The old sinful creature is alive and well and thriving. There's no salvation outside of Christ. There's no eternal life in heaven outside of Christ, but in Christ. Every spiritual blessing is found in Christ. Ephesians 1:3. There's redemption found in Christ. Ephesians 1:7. There's forgiveness of sins. Ephesians 1:7. There's no condemnation. Romans 8:2. There, you're made a new creature in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. There's salvation in Christ. 2 Timothy 2:10. There's eternal life being in Christ. 1 John 5:11. Maybe somebody here this morning needs to get in Christ. And you get in Christ by being baptized into Christ. You get in Christ just like they were baptized into Christ Jesus. They were also baptized into his death. What does he mean by that? Well, what he means is, there's a burial going on here. There's symbolism in it, and it's actual, something is actually happening. It's symbolic, and yet at the same time, more than just symbolic. Because what we're doing in this baptism is we're dying to our sins just like Jesus died on the cross. You're being buried in the water grave of baptism, and then we rise to walk in newness of life. What we're doing is reenacting what Jesus did on the cross, his burial and his resurrection. And today, as we're walking into 2024, this can be your opportunity to say, you know what, 2023, I'm done with you. I'm taking off these old clothes. I'm getting ready to put on Jesus Christ new for 2024 and walk with him each day. Maybe you're here this morning and you're ready to heed that and ready to obey him in baptism. This is your opportunity now. I've done plenty of talking. Now, only talking I want to do now is rejoicing with the angels in heaven. If there's one here this morning that's ready to put him on in baptism, if you're ready, won't you come right now as we stand and we sing the song of invitation?
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided.